I was going to, we're going to Psalm 119, but did I say anything here that anybody wants to ask about or talk about, or did I cite any scriptures? I get excited sometimes and I forget to take you right to the scripture. I just quote them, and I want you to be sure to know where these scriptures are yourself. Anybody? Barbara? Doorstep. I don't know that scripture. The story of Cain would be the fourth chapter of Genesis, but that doesn't ring any bells. You're not thinking about I stand at the door and knock. Revelation 3:20. That may be the one. He said to Cain, "Sin is crouching at your door." That's in Genesis 4, about left-hand column, left-hand page, about halfway down. You know, if you have the official Pastor Vic Bible, you know exactly where it is. If you don't, then you have to find it yourself. It's about the 8th or 9th verse, something like that. I think Pastor Ronnie could probably give us some real insights here, even though the land that he comes from was at one time really the light of the world. It's pretty dark where he comes from. There are pockets of light here and there, but it's darker there than it is here. When Mike Taylor was here from Scotland, and this is just a few weeks ago, he was in town for a few days, and we went out and had lunch together, and we were sharing, and he was talking about that very thing, wasn't he? About the spiritual oppression, and he mentioned right in Edinburgh, which is this is where John Knox lived and worked, and a tremendous move of God in Scotland. The Presbyterian Church around the world has its roots in the Scotch church of several hundred years ago. Excuse me, and many of the churches of the Reformed tradition have their roots in the ministry of John Knox. And it's just so dark. It's so oppressive. And I think I have shared with you what has happened in Mike Taylor's life. His wife filed for divorce from him. Now, they've been in the ministry for how many years is this? We've been working with that family for almost 20 years. And the daughters don't want to have anything to do with him. The church has turned against him. And he's living in a brother's house and still ministering and still carrying on his ministry. But he can't talk to these people that he had fellowshipped with at one time. So, you know, they're just in so many parts of the world. I don't think most of us we don't have a clue of how wonderful it is here and how free it is here. But even here, you notice sometimes you come into the church, you can feel it. Now, today is one of those days that I like to say the pulpit could preach. Last Sunday was another one. I mean, this dead piece of wood, I'm not kidding you. This dead piece of wood could preach because there was so much liberty in this house in the last couple of weeks. Now, that's a spiritual matter. And there's some days where we come in, Pastor Ronnie and I have talked about it several times. There are some Sunday mornings we come in and there's an energy in here. I mean, this place is just, I mean, there's a, yes, buzzing. It's like a, it's almost like an electrical injury. But it is like it's a spiritual energy. There's a liberty in the Holy Ghost. There's a joy in the people. There's a confidence in the people. And the Holy Ghost has liberty to move in the place. There are other times when we come in, we take the platform and look out here and it looks like everybody died. And it feels like everybody died. And to try to overcome that is very, very difficult. I mean, you can't sing your way out of it. You got to have to pray your way out of it because it's a spiritual battle that we're engaged in. I've had times, I'm sure Pastor Michael will echo this, I have come to the pulpit to get ready to preach, and it's like preaching through a brick wall. I don't know how else to explain it. It is so difficult. I mean, you can't get your next thought that you knew what you wanted to say. I mean, I come in with 8 pages of notes. I know exactly what I want to do. I've got the scriptures down there. I've thought it all out ahead of time. I've got it all ready to go, and I can't get my next thought. It won't come. And I'll look at my notes and say, what did I mean by that? I mean, it's crazy. And there's no way to explain it other than you experience it. There are times when a soloist will tell you this, that he or she has practiced the song, knows it cold, picks up the microphone, can't think of the first word, or sings a half a verse, and where's the rest of it? It's just gone. And the next time, we're rocking. What is that? There are spiritual forces at work. There's a matter of being at liberty in the spirit or being under the oppression of oppressive, wicked spirit. Satan hates what goes on in the house of God. I've used this example many times. Did someone tell me recently who this was? I believe it was in the old Little Abner cartoon. How many of you remember the old Little Abner cartoon? Tell me your age by raising your hand. And Little Abner and Daisy May and Dog Patch, you remember that area? And there was a guy that lived in Dog Patch, and everywhere he went, there's this black cloud that follows him. I mean, if he goes here, this black cloud is over him. He goes over here, this big black cloud is, I mean, the gloomy guy, just gloomy. Well, spiritual forces are like that too. You know, when you get around, ladies, let me talk to you just a minute. You know, there's some men, you get around a man, and you just trust him. You know he won't hurt you. There's just a liberty, and you just feel comfortable around this man. Another fellow, I'm talking about a man right in the church. Another man, you get around him, and he hasn't said anything, he hasn't done anything, but you just don't trust him. In the world, we call that, I get bad vibes. You know, there's some guys, when we have a fellowship time, ladies, there are some men that can come up to you and hug you, and you just kind of melt in their arms. You just enjoy that, and what a wonderful fellowship. Another guy will come up and hug you, and you know that there's something wrong with his hug. Ladies do the same thing, men. You know what I'm talking about? Some ladies, you just know that this is a sisterly hug, and there are others that you're just not comfortable with. Something's just not right there. Spiritual forces at work. See, this ought not to be strange to us. God has given us His Holy Spirit. And it's like a gyroscope. It gives direction to our lives, and there's a sensing in us. You don't have to walk in the supernatural gift of discerning of spirits to be able to discern whether somebody's on the make or not, whether somebody's got a bad motive or a wrong motive. Sometimes it'll be, you know, you'll walk into a store and you're wanting to buy something. You'll buy a new refrigerator or a sweater or a car or whatever it is. And you just trust this. You just trust this salesman. The next one, I don't know, it's a look in his eyes. It's just a feeling that you get. You just don't want to do business with this guy because you know that while you're writing the contract, he's going to have his hand in your pocket or in your bank account, and you know that you're in trouble. I tell you, when you sense that, run. Do not walk. Run as fast as you can. Just get away from those kinds of influences. That is the presence of your Heavenly Father inside you, warning you, guiding you, directing you, and protecting you. Okay? A bunch of kids say, well, let's go out and do thus and so. Well, what are you going to do? Well, we're just going over here. We're going to do thus and so. And to you, it sounds okay, but something on the inside of you says, ooh, I don't know about that. Don't go. They say, well, why won't you? Everybody's going. I don't know. I just don't feel like going. That's okay. It's okay to say no. And if you still can't say no, go home and say to your mother or your father, better your father, say, Dad, I want you to answer this question, no. And then you say, Dad, can I go out with the guys? Can I go out with the kids this Friday night? No. Okay, thanks, Dad. Then you go tell your kid, why can't you go? My dad won't let me. I'm serious. See, some of these things, some of us are really, we're really strong and we can stand alone. We don't have to have any excuses. But there's some of us can't. And we need excuses, or we need somebody to back us up. And let me just say this. if somebody asks you to do something you don't feel comfortable about doing, you say no. If they say why, you say, Pastor Vic won't let me. That'll work because I won't. Okay? I mean, if I knew about it, I'd say no. Does that ask you, how do you feel? You say, I don't feel good. And I say, well, no. Okay? That'll resolve that. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Oh, nobody has trouble with their husbands.
Nope.
I'm just kidding. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, you're right. That's exactly what happens. As you're discussing that, I'm reminded of the fourth chapter of Luke, where the record is given about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness by the devil. And this is right after he has been baptized in water. He's been filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God leads him into the wilderness for this time of fasting and preparation and also testing. And the devil is used in the testing to test the Lord Jesus. And after the testing is over, the 13th verse says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation or the testing, he departed from him for a season. And so you're absolutely right. We do have seasons of great liberty. We have seasons of great trial, seasons of great temptation, seasons of great testing. Yes. Poverty. Right. And what happens, the worst part of that, Oprah, when the oppression gets on you, the worst part of it is, along with it comes a blindness that you don't realize that you are in that state. And so you begin to, you know, perception is reality. And what you perceive as real is real as far as you're concerned. And you can adjust, you can become adjusted or acclimated to the circumstances that you're in. One of the things that you must be careful of is those of you that want to take vacations down to the Caribbean. You want to be careful where you go. You just boogie to one of those islands and you come back with some boogies. Amen. Amen. You've got to know what you're doing. Well, how can you prepare yourself for this? See, the reason that Charlie Swecker is feeling this today is because when he left here, he was a free man. Now, see, if he had already been bound when he left here, he'd have just slipped right in. Well, here we go. You know, everything is cool. This is just like at home. They just speak a different language. But when he hit there, he sensed something. It's kind of like May. When you know you're going to go to the beach, what do? Before you go to the beach, you lay out on the back porch a little while, don't you? And you do a little bit each day and you prepare yourself, because if you don't, when you go to the beach, if you are Snow White and you hit that beach, you're going to be there one day and you're going to be burnt to a crisp. But if you will act, what, does somebody do that? So if you act, I see looks being exchanged here. And so if you prepare yourself, see, and get acclimated to it, then you can go, and you will never notice that hot sun. And that's what happens spiritually. If you go and you're Snow White in your spirit, and you hit that oppression, you're going to feel it. And that's why, I mean, I'm rejoicing really when you were telling me, I knew exactly what was happening. And I'm just rejoicing that Charlie was in the spiritual condition that he was in, so that when he got there, he could sense this and say, whoa, I need some help. Right. Send me some more bullets is basically what he's saying. Right. Okay. Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 14 just a moment, huh? Tell you what I think we're going to do. I don't think we're going to go to Psalm 119 tonight as advertised. First Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians? Is that the way they do it across the pond? 1 Corinthians? Is that Roman numeral 1 what's the other kind? Roman numeral or Arabic? Thank you. Arabic 1. Which one? You don't care? As long as it's 1. What? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It'll take a while to convert us. Unfortunately, many of our non-spirit-filled brethren, in all sincerity, but because they are blinded to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power that is granted to the believer by being filled with the Holy Spirit, they want to take this fourth verse here and they want to accent the wrong part of it. The verse reads, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself." They want to accent, "but he that prophesieth edifieth the church," as if it's wrong to edify himself. See, there's nothing wrong with edifying yourself. If I were to stand up here tonight and go, "I don't want to shavala kian dola moa, irum vulnam, ola shumora kiramon, dala vona mambosha, yekolamon daveton, kiamotan, yamohon, henovonamo, ajanamonava, etulungama ashuaman, ulfuramandanonga, yeromo, ajandovetamon, danandovia." Now, I could do that for the hour, by the hour, okay? When I go home, I mean, I'm going to be edified all get out. But you won't be edified, see, because you didn't understand what I said. And so Paul is not saying that a man ought not to speak in an unknown tongue, only that if he does, he's only going to edify himself. So he's going to strengthen or build up himself. And what Paul is saying is, if you read the rest of the chapter, he says, "I wish you all spoke in tongues. I do it more than all of you do." And so this is a good thing to do, but let's understand that when you speak in tongues, the only one that gets built up is you. When you have a public meeting like this, he said, I'd rather speak 5 words in the known language than 10,000 in tongues. Because if I said Jesus loves you, that would edify you a lot more, wouldn't it, those 3 words, than 10,000 words that I spoke in an unknown tongue. Do you get the point? But what I want to do tonight is I want to accent the first part of that. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. And so you ask the question, how can I become stronger spiritually? What can I do to strengthen myself spiritually? What provision did God make for me? I want to be a stronger Christian. I want to be more sensitive to spiritual things. I want to have a deeper confidence in the Word of God. I want to be a more effective and a bolder witness. I want, when I pray, I want to know that my prayer is getting through the ceiling and that God's hearing it. I'd like to have some communion with Him. I'm tired of having this one-way conversation. I know lots of Christians who've never heard from God. That's tragic. I mean, if He's alive, He surely can speak, and He surely can communicate. And any God that can't communicate with me is no better than a stone God with fire in His belly. Is He? He's a living God. He talked to Abraham. Hey, I got a better covenant than Abe did. Right. Isn't that right? My covenant's in the blood of Jesus. Yeah. And so I ought to expect to have a communication with Him, communion with Him, and a fellowship with Him. And so how can I gain entrance into these things? How can I become a stronger believer? How can I gain victory over the evil things that are going on in my life? How can I gain strength and victory over the things that I want to rid my life of? How can I do that? Well, here is certainly one very important component. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. The word edify comes from a Greek word that the root means edifice or building, structure. And so what Paul is saying here is he that speaketh in an unknown tongue builds himself up like a building. It's a construction project. Everybody who's been baptized in the Holy Ghost, the first thing that I tell them, and I know Pastor Michael does the same, I'm sure Pastor Ronnie do the same, the most important thing you can do right now is just pray like crazy in the Holy Ghost. You just pray in the Spirit, you pray. When Paul said pray without ceasing, I don't know, before you were baptized in the Holy Ghost, you probably pray all of 3 or 4 minutes, couldn't you, in English? Well, how on earth is a person going to pray without ceasing? Boy, when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I didn't want to stop praying. I think that's a significant part of that. Pray without ceasing. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't speak in an unknown tongue. How can I do that? Well, just ask Jesus to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Let Him baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And what will happen is you will have the ability to speak in unknown tongues, and then you can do so. And then you can do what with it? You can build yourself up. You can charge yourself up. You can become a stronger believer. Well, hey, I know some people who are not baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they are stronger spiritually than some people who are baptized in the Holy Ghost. What is with that? I know some people like that too, don't you? I mean, Billy Graham is a man who's not baptized in the Holy Ghost. Good, strong Christian, isn't he? I know some people who are baptized in the Holy Ghost that couldn't tie his shoes. Amen. But see, the baptism in the Holy Ghost is a gift. It's a gift. It's not a qualifier for super spirituality. It's a gift. If I give you an automobile today, I say, here's a car. You have it. You own it. And you keep walking Highway 5. That's your problem, not mine. I mean, if the car's sitting out parking out here, parked out here in the parking lot, you won't use it. See, that's your problem. I tell you, when somebody asks me about that, I get this excitement. I wish Billy Graham would get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Would that man be, oh, I just can't imagine what that man could accomplish if he would surrender in this area of his life as well. It's a shame, really, that a good man like this has bought into the tradition. And that's what's happened to him. I don't, you know, someone who's baptized in the Holy Ghost, not any better than someone who isn't. Jesus is the one who makes us acceptable to God. But if He gives us a gift, if He gave me a gift in order to increase my ability to be a witness for Christ and to be more like Him, I mean, if the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, and when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, what you do is you get dunked in Christ. That's what you got. Amen. Jude. Let's turn over to Jude. Right before Revelation, last book in the Bible, next to the last book in the Bible, next to Revelation. this verse, Jude, verse 20. Now, he's talking about unbelievers and so on, verse 18, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, they're sensual. You know what it means when a person is sensual? We think that means sexual. That's not what sensual means. Sensual means ruled by the senses. Ruled by the senses. Ruled by, if I can't see it, I don't believe it. That's a sensual man. A sensual man will accept anything that he can feel, see, hear, taste, or smell. He's ruled by his five senses. He's a guy that would say, I'm from Missouri, I won't believe it. You show me. That's a sensual man. Okay? As opposed to, what is the opposite of a sensual man? A spiritual man. See? A sensual man is ruled by what he sees and hears and so on, what comes into his life through his senses. On the other hand, a spiritual man is ruled by what he believes, what's going on in his spirit. And so when Jude is talking here about sensual men, he is talking about those who are ruled by the externals. And then he goes on to say, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up yourselves, strengthening yourselves. Okay, you've got your faith, you believed on the Lord Jesus, you're saved. How can you build on that? One of the significant building tools is praying in the Holy Ghost. Yes, Pastor, but I have been taught that a person can pray in the Spirit without praying in tongues. Well, you've been taught wrong. 1 Corinthians 14 again. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14. Where do you get, Pastor, that praying in the Spirit or praying in the Holy Ghost is praying in tongues? Well, I get it from the Bible, which is where I try to get everything I believe about things that are important. Verse number 14. This is 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. What? When I'm praying in tongues, how am I praying? I'm praying in the Spirit. But my understanding is unfruitful. What does that mean? I don't understand in my mind what it is that I'm praying. Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. Do you understand there are two kinds of praying here? One is with the Spirit, one is with the Holy Ghost, and one is with the understanding in your known language. Both are important kinds of praying, but they are not the same. And to apply the same rules to both would be like trying to play football with basketball rules. It just doesn't work. You've got to understand this distinction here. So much for that. Anybody else want to comment on what we have said tonight, what we've been talking about? Amy? Yes. That scripture was Hebrews 10, about verse 13 or something. Right-hand page, right-hand column near the bottom. It's right there where it says, by one offering we are sanctified. It's right there. Yes. Yes. Think about how slick that is of the devil to fabricate that lie. And here's how stupid it is. Well, I'm not going to get saved because that would be prideful. I mean, see, the same people that argue that, if you say that to them, in other words, anytime you hear one of the devil's lies, always carry it to the ridiculous extreme. And give it back to them. And when you hold up the mirror like that, they say, well, of course, that's stupid, isn't it? Did you find the verse? No. Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am. Do you think there is? Do you? Is there somebody here who wants to get baptized in the Holy Ghost? I don't see anybody jumping.
That's a big one. They're thinking about it.
Realize this. Listen, if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, listen to this. This is a gift from God. It is for all of His children. It is the next best thing that happened, could ever happen to you other than being saved. There are only two reasons why you would not receive it. One is doubt, and one is fear. You have nothing to fear here. This is the family of God. We love you. He loves you. You have nothing to fear. If you're afraid that some of your friends and family will not understand it, then you're not ready to receive it anyway, because Jesus said, if you're embarrassed about me, if you're embarrassed about my words, then I'm embarrassed about you. So you really have to come to grips with the fact, hey, I want all that He has for me, and I let the devil take the hindmost. Okay? If you're waiting for your husband to receive, or you're waiting for your wife to receive, or you're waiting for your mom and dad to receive, or you're waiting for some other family member to receive, you may go to your grave without having one of the greatest blessings that God has in store for you. And in Bible days, the way they received it is they simply had those who believed and had experienced to lay hands upon them and pray. They received. You say, I'm not good enough. I got things wrong with me. There are things in my life that disqualify me. There's nothing that can disqualify you from the blessing of God. The way you receive the blessing of God is simply by faith. Remember how you got saved. He took you just the way you are. And the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit, I've had people say, well, I'm not ready to receive the Holy Ghost yet because I smoke and I've got to get victory over my cigarettes. Well, that's what the Holy Ghost is for. I mean, he is for to give you victory. See? Well, I've got this problem. I've got that problem. I've got this thing. The devil just condemning you. He's just keeping you condemned. You need to understand that God loves you. He cares about you. And He wants to fill you with Himself. And that's really what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. It is getting filled up with Jesus. And why drink only half a glass when He wants you to have the whole thing? I got to tell you, it's the second to being saved. It is the most wonderful experience that I have ever had in my life, and I wouldn't take anything for it. I mean, there isn't anything in this world or the next that I would trade for this wonderful, mighty infilling of the Holy Ghost.
I like what Paul said in Romans 8, verse 26. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. It's not talking about sickness, it's talking about our weaknesses. And likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for if we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He goes on to 27, saying, He, talking about the Holy Spirit that searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
I can remember how I felt when this first happened to me. I wanted to understand it. I wanted to understand it. And if I couldn't understand it, then I didn't want to open my life to it. And I had to come to the place where I simply surrendered. And I said, okay, you know, here I am. Just fill me. And did He ever? Whoa, glory to God. Well, Pastor Ronnie, how about anything else here before we... I'm going to ask the praise team if they'll come. And I know you have some other music prepared, don't you? And... Let's just worship a while and see what the Lord may want to do here with us tonight. Would you like to worship? Just praise the Lord. Just glorify.